Welcome to another exciting episode of Comics with Normies. I am your host, Jared Albrick, a.k.a. the Yard Sale Artist. This is a show where I use my yard sailing skills and I go out and about and I find random comics at yard sales, and then I pick random people from my life who don't really read comics. They're not really comic book people, and I have them read an issue, and we get sort of that real outsider's point of view on the show. Today's episode is going to focus on New Teen Titans number 13. That is the November 1982 issue, which means it probably came out, hit the stands probably in late summer of 1982. Today's special guest is my friend, neighbor, and brother from another mother. It is Luther Bynum. Welcome to the show, Luther.
Good afternoon, Radio Land. I am just a random neighbor on a random show.
Saying random things.
Right. Good afternoon, all. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Hey, I'm glad you were here. Luther, before we even get into the comic and the wonderful world of the New Teen Titans, tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, what you're willing for the people in the podcast world to know about you. Just the briefest bio or the deepest bio, whatever you want. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Luther.
My name is Luther. I'm from Alabama. Career military man. That's about it.
All right. Short
man of mystery.
Yes, Luther's a retired Army veteran, one of the our nation's true American heroes, so we are honored to have him on the show. Now, I know you're not big into the comics and stuff now. I think you were when you were a kid. We'll get to that in a minute. But these days, what kind of hobbies and interests do you have?
Probably not.
That's not true. I see you working in your yard. No. I see you doing home improvement projects.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really, I guess, more into the scouting thing with my son, spending time with him.
Doing scouts with your son.
Yeah, that's a full-time job, I guess.
It is. I know another, he's being bashful, folks, because I know another hobby that Luther has that he is not revealing.
Wow.
It is my favorite hobby of all. Luther is an incredibly good cook, and which makes him an incredibly good neighbor, because he's always trying out recipes and then send them over to my house. They are delicious. His shrimp etouffee is the bomb.
Well, thank you, sir.
No, thank you. Okay, so let's talk about your history with comic books. Now, you were into some comic books when you were younger, correct?
Oh, that's correct.
Tell us a little bit about kind of what you were into, what ages you were at, kind of what's your background with comics?
I just remember my most fondest memory was going to the corner store with my grandmother. There was this Chili Willy machine where we had these slushies, and I mean, it just, oh, the flavor.
The flavor.
Yeah. And it was amazing. Just, you know, reading this comic just brought back that memory. You know, the going to the store, that smell that was in the store, the Icy's, and then also picking up my favorite, you know, Spider-Man issue.
Oh, you liked the Spider-Man when you were a kid?
Oh, yes.
Spidey, your favorite? He's number one? Okay. What's neat is I'm glad that doing the show brought back the memory of you and your grandmother and the convenience store. I think a lot of our listeners probably share that same memory. You know, people who are our age. You know, we remember because back when we were kids, there wasn't comic book stores. You had to go to the 7-Eleven or whatever your local, basically gas station convenience store was. Find it on the spinner rack and take it home. So you were looking for Spider-Man back in the day.
Anything Spider-Man and Hulk.
Oh, yeah, Hulk. Nothing wrong with the Hulk. Now, moving forward to modern days, do you have any superhero like TV shows that you like to watch or comic book TV shows that you're into?
Not really. More today, I'm into, you know, just movies.
Yeah, the movies.
When I come out with movies, I love the Marvel characters. Also, the DC line, you know, DVDs.
Yeah. I borrow a lot of the animated DVDs from Luther. He stays up on the DC animated DVDs better than I do, and I end up borrowing them from his house. Another great neighbor, I tell you, he brings me food, gets me DC DVD animated, so we do pretty well. Well, I do anyway. I don't know what he gets out of it. video games, you don't do any gaming. No, your son does gaming, and like we already mentioned, movies. So you're into the Marvel movies that are coming out, the DC stuff. But you like DC animated more than the live action DC? Or did you see Batman versus Superman?
Oh yes,
so you like that one too? Okay,
it was a good movie.
Ah, okay, but you're more of a Marvel guy.
And I will play video games. I'm just not a, you know, I'm not like
our kids.
Right.
All right. So thanks for sharing that with us. So we got to know a little bit about Luther. Now, the comic that we're going to be covering, like I said, we're going to do New Teen Titans number 13. Which is from the classic era of Teen Titans by Wolfman and Perez. This one hit, has a cover date of November of 1982. Like I said, that's going to be more on the shelf probably in the late summer of 82. So here's the big question. Can you remember so far back as to what you were doing in the summer of 1982? Oh, goodness. Now, we cheated a little. We talked about it before. I think Luther was about 8 and I was about 6.
I don't remember.
It's
so long ago.
Where were you living?
I was in Anniston.
Anniston, Alabama, and that's when you were with your grandmother and she was taking you to the store? Okay. That's about all he can remember. He had too much to do. He had so much on his plate when he was 8 years old.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a kid kicking in Anniston, going to the convenience store and getting some comics. That's awesome. We will talk more about New Teen Titans number 13 from November 1982 when we come back from this podcast promo break. We'll see you on the other side of it.
Hey, Kids Comics!
Hey, Michael!
Yeah?
We need to do a new promo.
A new one?
A new one.
Why?
Because we've moved.
Moved?
We've moved to a new place. We still read comics.
We do, we still talk about comics.
Because you can't do a comic book podcast unless you read and talk about comics, because that's kind of stupid. But now, we have a new episode still available every Thursday, but at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
Hey Kids Comics!
So remember, Hey Kids Comics has moved to twotruefreaks.libsyn.com. Still, every Thursday. That'll do, won't it?
Yeah. All right, welcome back. You're back here with myself, Jared, the yard sale artist, Albrick, and my neighbor and friend, Luther Bynum. We're going to be looking at New Teen Titans number 13 from November 1982. This is the toughest part of the show for Luther because Luther gets to give us sort of a plot summary of what issue 13 of the New Teen Titans was all about. Take it away, Luther.
Again, fans, I am...
this is what they tune in for. They want to hear a normal person's view, so this is what they tune in for. Don't feel nervous.
Right, so the opening scene with the comic, I see just all everywhere. Bullets are flying everywhere. People are down. Help me, help me.
Nice.
Wonder Woman, she's out here with, you know, with her fancy bangles. Check me out. I can reflect bullets. And so, you know, everything's going on. She's smashing and crashing, and you see all these little keywords, swoop, swash, crash, and hell's breaking loose. And then all of a sudden, you know, they stop and say, Wonder Woman, thank you. You cleared the streets. And everything is just demolished. I mean, it's a big debacle.
Well, don't give her too much credit. Yeah. That's Wonder Girl.
Oh, my.
Not Wonder Woman. I know they look crazy similar. I know they do. We're not judging you too hard. You're doing good, though. I love the action. So she's throwing stuff around, fighting a bunch of thugs in a warehouse.
She almost killed them, and then she stopped.
Oh, she got very agitated.
Yeah,
okay.
She was at the edge of her point of breaking. You know, I see my wife, Derek. Do you see my wife? Have you seen her?
So you're familiar with this emotion.
Look out. No. Then you, all of a sudden you see her fly off. And you see, I wish I could show you this picture. She's like, oh.
Yeah, she's like all of a sudden very melodramatic as she flies away. Like, oh. I almost killed some dudes.
What's going on? Is it? And then you find out she's just Hyperion. Came across with that new cologne or something, and she fell in love. And then, you know, this is why she was upset, and she was just going through the city, just wreaking havoc, and all because she fell in love with Hyperion. But the strange thing is, Wonder Girl had a boyfriend.
Yep.
And I was waiting in an alley with a change of clothes. Her supportive. I mean, yeah, very supportive.
Very supportive. Not kind of a goofy looking dude, but
I wouldn't say that. I mean, he looks like he works out, you know. But I think his spine may be of jelly. I don't know, but I mean, I fell in love with some guy. I can't understand why. Well, don't worry about it. Let's exchange this nice kiss, and everything will be okay.
He's playing it calm. He's playing it cool and collected. Oh, that's cool, baby.
I wish you guys could see the artwork. But I mean, again. You know, no disrespect to the comic, it gives me flashbacks of my childhood. Just, you know, now in this digital age of artwork, just seeing the detail, and how it flows along with the story, I really have an appreciation for that. And this, you know, how we flash back to the old commercials in the comics.
Oh, we'll get to that. I got a whole section of questions for you.
Oh, okay.
Keep on with the story.
Oh, okay. So we had a little commercial break, you know. Well, before the commercial break, again, she's meeting with a boyfriend, and they're discussing how the changeling was captured, zapped with this stick, and now he's in this recovery tube or something.
needs some kind of healing.
Yeah, and it, there was fine print on it, and it said something about property of Michael Jackson, I think so. This may have been the chamber Michael Jackson slept in. You know, no disrespect to the King of Pop, but I think this is the one. You know, but it was captured in this comic.
Well, Changeling changes looks a lot.
We may be on the song.
So where are they keeping Changeling? I bet we find out if we turn.
After this commercial break with the Sum Yum Bubby Gum.
Oh, and there we are.
We flash to the middle of this big arena, and we have, they refer to her as Coriander.
Yeah.
But I know her as Starfire.
Very good.
And she's in the center of this arena. People are just loving her because they're engaged in this competition of just brute strength and skill.
Battle.
Like jousting / extreme riding / that Stone Cold Steve Austin show, Skull. the Skull. It's something like that. And she's riding this big kangaroo.
She is riding a big kangaroo.
Yeah, he has on a bustier. I'm not understanding this. It's all over the place. But she's winning whatever it is. She's good at it.
She's good at it.
And she's having these flashbacks, sort of like that Kill Bill Volume 3, I guess, when Pai Mei. Was it Volume 3?
Volume 2. It doesn't matter. One of the Kill Bill movies. She's having flashbacks to her training. Very Kill Bill style. And I'm glad you picked up on that. That didn't occur to me when I read it.
Yeah, like I said, the artwork is transitioning with the story, and you just see her just whack, whack, whacking away.
She's laying out fools like kitchen tiles in there. This is Paradise Island, you guys. This is where Wonder Woman's from. So these ladies are all warriors, and Starfire is doing a darn fine job. Hold her own. But anyway, I'm not telling the story. You're telling the story.
Oh, yeah, but it's quite the opposite. Go ahead, by all means. But it's quite the opposite of Paradise. This is more like, hey, let's get it. But, and the story transitions on, and then she's victorious, and people are loving her, and all of a sudden there's this loud explosion.
What was that loud explosion?
It was the laboratory exploding.
And who was in the laboratory?
I forgot.
That's where Changeling was in his Michael Jackson too.
Dang.
That's where he was getting his heel on.
That was really a front. The government got the Michael Jackson 2 for him. I'm just kidding, you guys.
He's got so much plot twists.
I was on that mission. No, I'm just kidding. from there, we have hostess breaks.
Okay.
Oh, my God, a hostess break.
We'll get to the commercial ads in a minute. Don't get so excited about the hostess. Told you we're going to tell you about ads. Yeah. I'm going to ask you about ads in a minute. He keeps getting hung up on these delicious hostess ads.
I have a thing for cupcakes. I'm sorry. I have a thing for cupcakes. But long story short, we flash back to the story. Robin's in a tree eating the cupcakes, of course.
There are no cupcakes in the story. He's making that up.
Robin has the host. You see the hostess ad. Well, he's in a tree, and they're out on a recon, basically. And then Robin was like, hey, guys, I have something to tell you. You know, and he was like, what? And he's like, Cyborg, something's in your voice, that hint of animosity. And Cyborg's like, well, we're not really a team. We don't click. I left one of my teammates in a different city, and I didn't check on her. I don't understand what's going on.
I don't know that backstory either.
Yeah, Robin basically asked him, you know, and he was just telling him, we need to be more of a team. We're not functioning as a team. We could be more effective. And then all of a sudden, Flash pulls up. He's like, oh, excuse me, guys. I couldn't stop. I was too fast. And then he's like, well, hey, I found Robot Man, there's something going on. Hurry, hurry. You know, Robot Man left looking for God's stepfather, and then I think he's in trouble. So Robin, all of a sudden, you know, forgot about the Batcave since he was in the Ugandan jungle, swinging on a vine and
doing Tarzan.
Yeah, and Robot Man, I don't know.
So basically, Flash is scouting everything out.
Yeah.
And Cyborg's being moody about team leadership, which is interesting. In future Teen Titans episodes, he'll really step up to a leadership role. But Flash basically comes and tells Robin and Cyborg he's found something interesting. And what did they find, Luther?
Oh, they found this brand new 1981 Robot Man who was destroyed. I mean, this guy was dismantled and left for display, sort of like Vlad the Impaler did, you know, once upon
a
time.
Yeah, he did. Very much. Yeah, he left the body there as a warning, hanging up, almost like crucifixion style. It's pretty dark. What's the sign say? They actually hung a sign around his neck.
So trespassers will be executed. So
trespassers will be executed.
Now think back, people. This is 1981. It was a brand new model, so you know whatever did that to the super style Cyborg had to be pretty bad. I have a prediction that I think it was Madame Rouge, but again, I could be wrong.
Oh, look but, at you, tipping, give me a little hint.
Oh, yeah, that was, give him a little bit, man. Teaser, keep you coming
so
back.
So what they do with Robot Man, they found he'd been destroyed, shut down.
Right, Cyborg, with his super cyborg skills, you know, sort of like MacGyver. They went to the same school.
McCyborg.
Right. So he picks him up, and then Robot Man, he's back, he gives this name of Vic Stone. I'm not sure why. He said he thinks they got themselves a mutual friend.
Vic Stone, that's Cyborg's real name.
Oh, that was okay.
So I think they might have known somebody that was in robotics. Anyway, from there we cut back to Paradise Island, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and there Beast Boy was healing. There was an explosion in a lab. And I guess in that process, he transformed into this sort of Loch Ness monster type.
Yeah, dinosaur, Loch Ness monster.
Prehistoric
sort
of creature.
Like Beast Boy just went off the deep end and just, yeah, he started mad destruction as a dinosaur, monster, something.
And then the people of the island, that they were trying to escape, and they're...
They got to deal with it, and who are you going to call? You can't call Ghostbusters because you're on Paradise Island, so you call... the Amazon warrior tribe, and luckily they got the help of...
Coriander seed. Yep, I'm Starfire. Sorry, yeah, Starfire. Starfish.
Oh, you can call her Coriander if you want. That's all right.
Yeah, so basically, they couldn't stop this monster. I mean, he was just wreaking havoc, and again, what's her name?
Raven.
Raven, yeah, Raven came in and had her mystical powers. All you can see is like this cloak, and I don't understand what she did to Beast, but she did it. Music or something? What was it?
Like music soothes the savage beast. I don't know. She calmed him down.
Yeah, dude.
She
was back.
Took him from raging monster back to his normal form. And that's the whole thing with like sorcery heroes. They're so mystical. It's kind of hard for us to understand what's going on. But yeah. Anyway, she calmed him down. Short version.
Yeah, sorcery heroes. I'm thinking wives. That's their job, right? I mean, that's what, they normally do the. They don't serve that same purpose. But again, I don't mean that as a sexist. So I apologize if I offended anyone. But I'm just saying.
Apparently, Luther thinks all wives do sorcery.
No, I mean wives are calming. They're
calming. Okay, you were saying they were calming. I thought you were saying they're all sorcerers.
No, they're our sensible side.
Okay.
Yeah, our voice of reason.
Oh, all right. More complimentary than the way I took it.
Yeah, that's the way I. You know, I see my wife. Yeah. She's my.
Just
center.
In case she listens to the show.
Right. You didn't have to tell the radio lad I was wink, wink. I mean, but no, seriously, I mean, my wife, I love her a lot. I mean, nothing but love. She is my calming side.
She, yes, yeah, yes, yeah. She's definitely very wonderful. Much like Raven was for Changeling. She is the Raven to your Changeling.
Right. But going back to the story, people, I mean, it's flashing all over the place. Beast Boy, you know, he's feeling bad because he wrecked the lab and... You know, and I don't know what do you have going on here.
He's just upset because he caused so much destruction.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he feels bad about
I'm
it.
Worthless.
It doesn't matter because we're about to cut back to the jungle.
Yeah, we're back to the jungle in three. They're still recon. I bet you my cape is fancier than yours. He's like, no, Robin. Hey, look, secret door. He's like, no, I found it first. And they're discussing it. And while they're discussing drawing straws of who will go first, Flash, he shoots down and he does this little quick recon. And then say they're not afraid. And next thing I know, hey, we're to a lightsaber's crossroads.
Stop getting hung up on the light on the food ads.
Yeah, I don't care.
But so yes, Robin and Cyborg, and they're joined now by Robot Man because they turned him back on. And like you said, Flash is they found a secret door, and Flash is doing some recon into the temple.
Right.
And what does he find?
Our super duper quartet finds a handy dandy batch of 1981 model super bad guy model robots.
Yeah, a lot of robots.
And they're warmed up and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So our guys are like, okay, let's get them. And Battle Royal. Again, this book, 1981, WWF. Hulk Hogan was the reigning champ. And this is what I was watching in the next couple of pages. A pure Battle Royal, people. You hear me? Nothing but excitement. Robot Man and this classic Super Cyborg wanted revenge for being shut off and put on display. Do you hear me, people? It got exciting.
You got a WWE side.
Yes. So after the battle, he was like, this is the lady that did it to me. Let me go. Hold me back, Cyborg. Hold me back. So Cyborg, they knew it was something going on because, the battle with the robots was just a little too easy. Mm-hmm. So they realized that they had entered into a trap. And then that's when she popped up on what we thought was a flat screen back then. You know,
it's like 20 inches thick.
Right.
But that's, she is Madame Rouge, yeah. I think, is the mastermind behind all this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then he was like, yeah, she destroyed me one time. Hold me back, Cyborg, while I rip her apart. And then, you know, he let her have it. Super Cyborg let her have it. As, yeah, Super Cyborg versus Cyborg.
Well, you know, so you're referring to Robot Man as Super Cyborg? Right. Man, this is going to be tough for the listeners.
Yeah.
He's making up his own names now.
Yeah, because that was his model type. He was a Super Cyborg.
Yeah, you're so right. I guess. Anyways, yeah, Robot Man's a little salty about the whole thing.
Yeah,
sure. But Madame Rouge is peeking from, like he said, like an old monitor. So they really don't know where she is yet.
Right.
They're just running around this whole huge underground layer, like enormous underground city layer. And they're looking for maybe some more Robot Man's friends from the Doom Patrol.
And it's just one thing that stands out throughout this storyline is that, you know, Flash, while in my mind, I see these guys discussing, like, who's going first? Well, calm down. And Flash is like, man, will you guys hurry up? So throughout this whole story, he has this look like he's impatient. You know,
well, if you had super speed, everybody would seem so slow. Yeah, exactly. So you'd probably be impatient, too.
Now we're thinking, that's how I'm thinking. Like, man, hurry up. Flash, he just looks boring, you know, bored with it. They rush off, you know.
Looking around. Yeah, they're just searching. Whatever. So what do they find?
Oh, and then they found... what's his
Steve
name?
Steve Dayton.
Gar Stape. This is Gar Stepdad.
Changeling stepfather. I think Steve. Like, I can't keep track of all the relationships either. But yeah, that's. I think he's also a member of the Doom Patrol.
Right. So when Robot Man grabs him, he's like, "Hey, we're here to rescue you." He was dazed and confused. He really didn't know what was going on. So apparently, he had the appearance that he's been, you know, had been drugged.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Flash is like, guys, hurry up. But I'm sorry to interrupt you guys. You're moving too slow. Here's more of the robots. The robots show up, wreck the party. Flash, you know, he's on point, man. And followed by Cyborg and Robin. And here we go again. Battle Royal. And
more robots.
And going back to the beginning, you know, how they have their little banter going back and forth doing the battles.
Right.
Robin said, guys, I told you I had something for you. And he pulled out this handy-dandy flashy shield with this nice look.
That thing is like half as big as Robin.
I know, man.
It's stopping laser blast. He's got this weird shield that's like partly transparent. It's got the Robin symbol on it. Like, where the heck was he keeping that?
Right. And he's carrying it in his utility belt, man. And the Cyborg, man, he gives him a hard time saying, man, you have everything but the, what is it?
Kitchen sink.
Right. And he made comment there wasn't any room because they had it.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, basically Cyborg says, he's playing the role of the audience. Like, where did you get that shield? And then Robin says, it's in my utility belt. He said, you got everything in there with the kitchen sink. And Robin says, well, I don't have room for the sink because I installed a bathtub in the utility belt. Now they beat up some more robots. They save the day.
And then you see Flash shows up with the pizza. And
he's got a box of something. I don't rightly remember what it was either, but they basically escaped.
Yeah, at this point.
They found Steve Dayton and turned on Robot Man. And they turned on Robot Man, rescued Steve Dayton. Then what? They just make it back to the...
They flash back to the bad guys. They say the war isn't over. And they swear that they'll have revenge or whatever on the Teen Titans. And that was pretty much the end of the story. By this point, I kind of... The storyline lost me. Caught, you know, it didn't.
It definitely got a little deeper when it came to, like, I think it was like the Doom Patrol guys showed up and they're somehow related to Changeling. But anyway, we'll talk about that. You did a good job on the recap and I appreciate that. Now, I got some questions where you get to pontificate, make some guess, whatever. Now, given what you read in the story, if you had to guess, what do you think, what event or events, and I know you don't know, we don't have the issue here. Happened before this storyline. What do you think built up to that? Any clues as to what might have happened before we entered the story where we did?
Well, this was more or less, in my opinion, like a day in the life of, because it kept flashing between, you know, the locations from Uganda to the Paradise Island and so on. So it was following the individual heroes.
Right.
So prior to, there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
The whole situation with Hyperion, I really don't understand.
And Wonder Girl, like, yeah. I don't know what's going on with their relationship.
So there couldn't have been a battle. I mean, in my opinion, I don't think there was a battle, so they had to meet under peaceful circumstances for him to use his charms or whatever. Or they kidnapped her. I'm not sure.
Who knows?
The whole recon thing, someone had to be kidnapped in order for them to look for him, right?
Yeah, that was kind of my question. Like, why are Robin and Cyborg and Kid Flash, why are they even in the jungle? They're looking for Changeling stepdad? How did they get put onto that scent? Why isn't Changeling with... Well, I guess we know why. I guess he got injured.
The beginning of the story, in the beginning. Yeah. But the other thing that lost me, like the whole thing with the stepfather...
Mm-hmm.
Why was he important? Why would they kidnap him? What was the reason behind it?
Maybe because of his association with the Doom Patrol, which again...
Which was destroyed, remember?
Yeah.
Madame Rouge destroyed the Doom.
Destroyed the Doom Patrol.
There was a lot going on.
So much going on. Poor Luther, he got thrown into a fairly deep story. Had you ever heard of the Doom Patrol before this book?
I don't remember.
Yeah. The Doom Patrol is kind of more of a niche market. Which is not to say they're bad. There's plenty of people who like the Doom Patrol. There's a great podcast called Waiting for Doom where some of our Aussie friends talk nothing but Doom Patrol, and it's probably pretty good. But it's not terribly mainstream. Like, you know, you never really heard of it. I'm only vaguely aware of it, but it was definitely interesting. Robot Man and Steve Dayton. I know that's not the entirety of Doom Patrol. I know there's more members, so I'd kind of be interested to see where that's going. But anyway. If you had to guess, what do you think is going to happen after this issue? And I know we don't know. It's complete guesswork. What do you think will happen next?
I hope some resolution would come to, or Steve Dayton's.
Something's going on with Steve Dayton. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the part that got confusing for Luther at the end. And it got a little confusing for me, too. But what I took out of it was it looked like... they rescued Steve Dayton, and it's almost like the bad guys wanted them to rescue Steve Dayton. Like, and you could tell something wasn't right with him. He was off his game. So, like, I'm wondering if they brainwashed him or something. Some Manchurian candidate type of deal. So those are our guesses as to what might happen next. Obviously, it's going to involve the Doom Patrol, and something's going on there with Madame Rouge. Who knows? I bet the guys at the Waiting for Doom podcast know, but they could probably get back to us on that. All right. Next question about the story. This is a fun little segment I like to call What Do You Think Their Powers Are? And I bet you get a lot of these right, because we got a lot of timeless characters involved in the book. So, real quick, rapid fire round. What do you think Cyborg's powers are?
This guy is, he's a walking Swiss Army knife.
He's a walking Swiss Army knife.
He has everything.
He's got it all? Okay. Kid Flash.
Speed.
Super speed. Easy, right?
The name says it all.
Says it all. Changeling.
Again, the name says it all.
You can change into different animals, right? And he's... Hey, Luther's cheating a little bit because the Teen Titans cartoon is very popular amongst our sons. Oh, so he knows some of this stuff, right? All right. Wonder Girl. What are her powers?
Well, I think of Wonder Woman, which is super strain, you know, invisible jet, lasso, and all of that.
Yeah. Maybe, fair guesswork there. Who else did we have? Raven.
Again, that's... I'm aware of who Raven is, so I didn't... I can't put myself
in. It's like magical power, mystical powers, Doctor Strange-like powers.
She had the dark, the underworld, powers of the underworld, I believe.
Yeah, she's tied to the underworld.
Her father's like
the demon, Intrigon. Yeah, you know what's up.
Yeah, he would be like Lucifer.
Yeah. That's a weird person to have for your father.
Yeah.
All right, here's an easy one.
I thought I was bad. Yeah.
Here's an easy one. What kind of powers do you think Robin has?
Oh my God. That big shield, come on, man. He doesn't need powers.
I think he also picked a lock at one point in this story. That was actually a pretty neat part of the story, because they were talking about how to get Steve Dayton out of his jail cell, and Cyborg was like, "Well, I could blast it, but it'd make too much noise." And Flash was like, "Well, I could vibrate through the bars, but then I couldn't get him back out again." And Robin was like, "Dude, I'll just pick the lock." You know, so he's got his skills and whatnot. Robot Man, you want to guess at his powers? Because I don't know either. You know,
I think he was a scarecrow. I
mean, he's dressed up like a scarecrow. Right. I guess he's probably just a powerful robot. What do you think?
I've never heard this character before.
All right. So if you had to guess, we're just guessing.
He's a robot.
Probably strong.
Yeah.
Durable.
Bulletproof.
I got nothing on him either.
But he has a knockoff Tony Stark's suit on. I don't know.
But he's all robot. There's no man in there. Well, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know a lot about Doom Patrol. Anyway, we're all guessing. Well, I'm almost as confused as Luther is on this one, because even though I read a ton of comics, I have Doom Patrol's a real blind spot for me. So, yeah, you got a pretty good roster, easy roster of what power. Oh, we didn't talk about Starfire. What powers do you think she has?
Oh, she's an alien. So
she's an alien.
She has, you know, she can fly.
She can fly.
Yeah.
She's strong.
Yeah, she can do. She has. Yeah. Fighting skills.
Yeah, she got good fighting skills. We definitely learned that from in the arena. All right. You did pretty good. You did one of the better runs on what powers do they have segment. Again, you got a lot of easy ones, though, because...
Yeah, I'm familiar.
You're familiar with the show. Okay, story-wise, just in the story, what was your favorite moment? What part did you enjoy the most?
I think the beginning, watching Coriander...
Her name's also Coriana.
Wonder Girl.
Oh, the Wonder Girl part at the very beginning when she lost her.
Losing it. And then switching to Starfire, losing it, and then my wife lost it. So it's like, yeah.
This is a three.
Okay. Yeah, man.
Learned that Luther likes the parts when women just lose control in the story.
But then they calm down, so yeah.
Then they calm down. Yeah. That's the best.
So I'm like, I knew you had it in you.
Okay, and you've already alluded to this a little bit, but just real quick, what parts of the story kind of left you scratching your head and a little bit confused?
Again, the last portion of it, there was a lot going on with the stepfather being confused.
Steve Dayton and...
But I understand they're setting it up to, you know, feed into a transition into an additional issue, plug this in somehow or another. But,
right.
Because it really confused me. Unanswered questions. So that was my least favorite.
Well, that's cool, and that's fine. I mean, that's why we do comics with normies, is to kind of, those of us who are more familiar with comics, we kind of see where it's going. I'm trying to see how it affects people who don't normally read comics. So that's good feedback. Overall, you know, not a bad issue, but it did leave you with some, like,
a lot
of questions. And as we've noticed on the show, it's left me with questions, because I'm not a big Doom Patrol guy. So I'm just learning with you as far as it goes with those guys. Definitely. A little interesting there. All right, we're done talking about the story. You don't got to rack your brain about the story anymore. We're going to transition into the art of the book, and we're going to start with the art that we see first, which is the cover. Mm-hmm. What thoughts do you have on the cover art?
Flashing back to 81, I mean, this seems like it would have been brighter.
This one has a little bit of a darker cover.
I remember it being brighter. Thinking of the mood the artist was in, I guess. I mean, it's very detailed with the plants, the different type plants.
Oh, gosh,
yeah. It's very detailed.
This cover in this whole book, by the way, is done by an artist named George Perez. And he's one of the most famous artists in comics. He has this amazing...
Really?
Yeah. This is kind of like his breakout book, really. This is like everybody... George Perez got on everybody's radar on Teen Titans.
Yeah, he did an excellent job, like I said, putting the story, the artwork matches, you know, follows the story.
Mm-hmm.
Even the whole deal with Wonder Girl and her boyfriend, I guess, theme.
Even in the quiet moments, is what you're saying. But yeah, George Perez is famous for cramming a ton of detail. I mean, look at this, and we've gone past the cover, folks, we're into the book now. But like, even if you look at like where Starfire's riding the giant kangaroo, in the stadium. I mean, look, he's almost drawn like almost every member in the audience, like tiny little circles.
Yes.
George Perez is famous for cramming a ton of detail and still making it look good.
Yes.
Not a lot of artists can do that. Like, when I try to do my art and put that stuff in there, it just starts looking cluttered and bad. But for some reason, George found this magical formula to make it look good.
The normie agrees.
That's all we need to say. Okay, art-wise, what was your favorite moment art-wise in the book? Like, if you could take a page out of this book and put a frame on it and hang it on your wall, just which one, and it's totally subjective, there's no right or wrong answers, just which art piece of art really you thought, wow, that looks really cool?
I think it is, again, in the beginning, I'm biased toward the opening of the story.
He really likes that part where Wonder Girl's going bug wild on those bad guys.
She has the bad guys cornered, and it's like she's going to let us hang like dead meat on ice, and then she's crashing through this Jeep. And
oh, you like the part where she's throwing the forklift,
slinging
the forklift, and you get a lot of crashing, broken barrels, and it's very action-y.
Right, and I think that would, because he captured that action. That's why I believe this would make a good portrait.
So yeah. Okay. So yeah,
he captured it and even, you know, animated it with this, you know.
Yeah. A lot going on. Yeah.
And you can see him, you know, in action, falling or trying to run off or whatever, dropping the weapons.
Mm-hmm. A lot of motion involved.
So I would definitely.
So you like like that panel in specifically where the where the forklift is smashing things.
Right.
Yeah, that's not a bad choice. There's a lot going on. A lot of detail there.
And it's not. There's a lot of detail, but you can still, you know, sort of decipher what's, you know, as opposed to, in comparison to the, stadium or what's happening here. It's just too busy for me.
Oh, you like your art a little cleaner, a little not as busy. Yeah. So was there any part in the book where you thought the art was bad? Like, I don't like this drawing. Or
with the robots, yeah.
You didn't like the robots page?
Well, there was one page. Look, I'm making all this noise.
That's okay. People don't know we're flipping through a comic book.
What was it? Like the cave. I mean, he tried to capture the texture of the
wall textures and what. And you found that to be too busy?
Yeah, it didn't look. In my opinion, it doesn't look as, I don't know. Grab me. Yeah.
All right. So Luther Bynum says George Perez's art just didn't do it.
No.
Now you're gonna get a lot of angry letters.
This one particular picture.
No, he's talking about a very specific panel where at the bottom we could basically have two of the red robots kind of looking at each other. Pretty much any time they're in that tunnel, Luther's just say that all the detail that Perez did on the inside of the tunnel with the texture. He finds it to be a little distracting. And I could see from an outsider looking in where that could be the case. Although most of us know and love George for his detailed works, on this particular normie, he found it a bit distracting.
But this normie, he also lost his glasses last week.
Your opinion is null and void. He's got no glasses on.
You picked me,
man. I have to record this whole episode. Okay, now for your favorite part, we're done talking about the story. We're done talking about the art. We are going to talk about the advertisements.
Yes, yes, yes.
Pick two or three that you liked. I think we all already know where this is going.
Oh, it's the hostess, baby.
It's the hostess with the mostess. All right, let's flip to that hostess ad. It's near the front somewhere. Luther's speed flipping to it.
I don't want to rip your pages.
Oh, that's all right. I trust you. I trust you. I think it was right here, right before they go to the jungle. Yeah, there's the hostess ad, and it stars who? What superhero does it star?
Tornado.
Red Tornado.
Red Tornado.
Red Tornado. He's kind of a lesser known hero. Did you know about Red Tornado? Or is that no? He's got nothing on Red Tornado.
I don't remember him.
Yeah, he's kind of lesser known DC hero, but don't let it dissuade you, right? He doesn't need to know Red Tornado to know that he loves
Hostess Cakes. Oh yeah.
Oh right.
And I think we all remember, if you were around during this time, or if you just read old issues, they loved slipping these comic style Hostess ads in. They did it in Marvel, they did it in DC, and they always kind of made it look like, you know, they're all comic based stories. They're like a little one page story about Hostess ads. And if you're like me when you were a kid, you'd be reading the story and you'd accidentally find yourself in the middle of a hostess ad. You'd be like, oh, Red Tornado showed up and oh, dang it, I'm in the middle of a hostess ad. In this particular one, it looks like some villainous guy in a red turtleneck has invented a machine that specifically steals hostess cupcakes.
And then he's fudgy, deep, dark, delicious, chocolatey cake, invaluable taste.
He's actually quoting from the ad. Right, man. This guy loves his hostess more than you do.
Oh my goodness, man. And Red Tornado shows up and ruins his day.
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
The big ads for Hostess was the chocolatey cupcake. They also did the fruit pie ones. They had the apple, the cherry, I think the chocolate pie. They also did the Twinkie ads.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is your favorite?
Oh,
the chocolatey cupcake.
Chocolate cupcake.
All right, so you got the right one.
Some of the same reasons, the fudgy, deep, dark chocolatey. I love the Hostess.
Awesome. Yes. Now, this show is not sponsored in any way by Hostess Treats, but we are going to take a podcast promo break. I wish we could just play a Hostess commercial for you.
Rockets ahead, Captain Cupcake!
And alligators behind, mates!
Look, Bob, we're going over!
So are the Hostess Cupcakes!
And Twinkie's Cakes!
Yahoo! Twinkie the Kid!
Thanks, Twinkie!
Time for Hostess Cupcakes! And Twinkie! Twinkies!
Golden cake! Chocolatey cake! Both with cream filling!
You're gonna beep the light in every bite of Hostess cupcakes! And Twinkies cakes! Yahoo!
And if anyone from the Hostess organization wants to reach out to us and sponsor the podcast, we'd be more than happy to
because Luther loves you.
Look, it's like free endorsements, Hostess. You know where to find us. If you don't, we'll tell you at the end of the show. All right, we're going to break for this quick podcast promo. We'll be back with Luther's final thoughts on New Teen Titans number 13.
A revolutionary gorilla in a beret, as committed to evil as he is to love.
A swarm of porcelain that walks like a woman.
A dude who looks like Skeletor, offering employment opportunities.
An intergalactic fast food chain looking to expand.
An overweight alien in a muumuu commanding a plastic army.
An insecure man with a crotch for crime.
A brain in a jar with such plans, if only he had a body.
An urban soldier who fights a never-ending lonely war on facial hair.
A mentally unbalanced French lady with an elastic body.
A man with angry eyebrows and the powers of the periodic table.
A man who stared at the abyss till nothing made sense.
A scientist who can simultaneously be an animal, vegetable, and mineral.
We doubt there are stranger things than the villains of the Doom Patrol. Join us on Waiting for Doom, the Doom Patrol podcast, and hear for yourself.
And we are back.
Hello, hello, hello.
We have just eaten our fill of Hostess chocolatey delicious cupcakes.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate that, John. Thank you.
And we're getting back with Luther's final thoughts on New Teen Titans number 13. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 to 10 scale, how much did the book entertain you?
I will give it a 7.
Strong 7 or a weak 7, doesn't matter. He gave it a 7. That's not too bad. And having spoke with Luther a little bit before we recorded, I think I know why. I think it has to do with memories. But you tell the audience. You tell the audience why you liked it and gave it a 7.
Just reminded me of my childhood.
Yeah, back. yeah, that's what comics are good for, man. They take you back.
And I was sitting when Jared brought the comic over for me to read. When I opened it to get out the cover, it was like, I heard this.
And yeah, at that point, you didn't even know there was a Hostess ad.
Right, and then I'm going through it, and I'm, you know, I'm just reflecting on my childhood, and then I ran into the Hostess ad, and it was like, man, I am done. So yeah, it brought me back, and it kind of made, you know, raise that spark again that I kind of, you know, wanted to get into this.
Well, that's going to be the next question. On a scale of 1 to 10, if I had Teen Titans number 14, on a scale of 1 to 10, how interested would you be in reading the next issue?
Oh, that would definitely be a 10 because there were so many unanswered questions.
I might actually have
in the previous issue, but, you know.
I might have it. I'll have to go into my stack and see if I've got it. So he gives it a 7 in entertainment value. He gives it a 10 in are willing to continue to read. So it sounds to me like Wolfman and Perez did a great job with this book, entertaining him. Although I feel like at least 2 points of the 7 was the Hostess cupcake.
the respect to the artist. He did a great job with the detail. It's just some areas that I didn't, you know.
But, and, well, you don't have your glasses. Preference,
but, I mean, he did an excellent job with the storyline, following the story and showing action, depicting action throughout these pages. So my hat's off to Mr. Perez.
Well done, sir. Well done. Mm-hmm. I want to thank Luther for being on this episode of Comics with Normies.
I thank you for having me here. It was my honor and pleasure.
Well,
and hopefully we can come back again. Thank you guys for having me.
With the exciting versions that you tell of story recaps, we might have to have you be a repeat guest on the show. That's going to do it for this episode of Comics with Normies. We got Luther's awesome review of New Teen Titans number 13 from 1982. Now, if you want to hear more from me, see some of my art, listen to my soothing voice, you can find me in various places on the internet. Now, let's start with the show. You can find the show on Twitter at Normies Podcast, or you can find us on Facebook at Comics with Normies. If you want to link up with me personally, I'm on Twitter at Yard Sale Artist, and I'm also at Facebook at Yard Sale Artist. If you can't get enough of listening to my sweet sounds, I also co-host the Long Box Crusade podcast with Pat Sampson. You should give that a listen. It's a lot of fun, more comic book nerdery. And just because I like more things to do, you can head over to whiterocket.podbean.com and catch me hosting on Her Majesty's Secret Podcast with Vamp Plexico and John Ringer. I think that's it. I'm all over the internet. Come find me, and more importantly, come back and see us again on another episode of Comics with Normies. You keep reading them, and I'll keep finding people who don't. Catch you later. This episode's outro music is a jam called Woke and Swagger, one of my very favorite jams from the ultra-talented musician Joe November. Now, this music and all other sound engineering for Comics with Normies is provided by musical genius Joe November. Be sure to check Joe out on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud at JoeSefflin99. That's JoeSefflin99. You will not regret it. Got mad skills. As a reminder, folks, if you have any comments or questions, or if you just want to follow us on the social media, you can follow us over on Twitter at Normies Podcast, N-O-R-M-I-E-S Podcast. You can also follow me personally over on Twitter. I am at Yard Sale Artist. Or if you're more of a Facebook kind of person, you can follow us at Comics with Normies. That's our podcast page. Or you can follow me personally at Yard Sale Artist. Again, questions, comments, just want to be part of the show, let me know. I'm happy to read the comments and the questions that we get on future episodes.